Hello and welcome to Healing From Within. I am your host, Cheryl Glick, author of The Living Spirit, a story of spiritual awakening, right thinking and action through understanding universal energy and finding ways to know ourselves both physically and spiritually. Today I welcome Dr. Julia Sloan, author of Learning to Think Strategically. In a world of unrest, the need for innovative global strategists is not merely geared towards survival, but to compete in a skillful and ethical way, and it is imperative in business, military, and that government leaders learn to think strategically. Hello, Julia, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Cheryl. I really look forward to this.
Great. Okay. Julia, as listeners of Healing From Within well know, my guests and I explore our human and spiritual capacity for personal self-improvement and a way to improve the quality of life in our world. Applying what we learn into our everyday life is the key to reaching our individual and collective potential to share, conserve our energy and resources for the greatest good of all. In today's episode, Dr. Julia Sloan, who teaches at Columbia University and travels the world to Asia, the Middle East, and Europe, consulting and speaking on strategic thinking, shows us how leaders are desperate to move past outdated industrial age mindsets to becoming more innovative in their thinking and approach to implement imaginative cutting-edge thinking to solve modern-day issues. And we certainly have enough of those. Julia, I always love to ask my guests to think back to their childhood and remember a person, place, or event or a goal that may have been meaningful to them and perhaps have led them to the work and lifestyle they embrace now as a result of those earlier events.
That's a really interesting question to look back and draw back. And I would say in terms of a person, when I was living in Alaska, I had a very, very inspirational and just very influential music teacher whose name was Charles Reynolds. And I think he was one of the, as I look back on it right now, he was such a mind explorer and such a person who constantly was pushing his students and his teachers to keep expanding, just regardless of reaching a destination, to always expand and always explore. And I think that stayed with me, or certainly huge pieces of it, I think, have really stayed with me in my professional life.
I think so. And did you live in Alaska when you were younger, or was that later on when you went to school?
A little bit later on when I, you know, was in school. And I think he just had a profound impact on, I think, not only on my hopes and dreams, but also certainly on my thinking. And he'll always stay with me.
Excellent. Well said. What is strategic thinking, and what qualities does a strategic thinker have?
Well, strategic thinking is certainly not what we've been taught. I like to differentiate, and I lay this out in the book in great detail. I like to differentiate strategic thinking from strategic planning and strategic implementation based on what I call the underlying pockets of cognition, the buckets of thinking that we draw from. And there are many attributes, but the five attributes of strategic thinkers that I have really sort of siphoned out here over about 12 years of research is imagination. And the great thing is we're all born with an imagination. we tend to push it by the wayside, I think, after the age of about 8 or 9. But having a really vivid imagination, and this tends to really support the divergent aspect of strategic thinking. The second of the 5 attributes is having a broad perspective. And I don't, you know, everybody thinks they have a broad perspective. But by broad perspective, I mean 2 things. One is a visual component of really being able to see problems in panoramic view. And I always say we tend to be taught to look at things in very narrow frames of sequence. And I think, you know, we forget sometimes that we can actually learn to step back and see things in a panoramic view. And this allows us to take a look at variables and factors and other scenarios that we might typically miss. And the third attribute of strategic thinkers is being able to juggle. And this is not the same as multitasking, but this is really being able to pay attention, to keep your eye on a lot of different balls at the same time. So it has a huge element of risk to it because you're constantly dealing with incomplete information. The fourth element or attribute of strategic thinkers is being able to deal with things over which we have no control. And I find we're often very ill-prepared for this because we constantly are focusing on solving problems according to what can you control rather than being able to pay attention to what you cannot control. And then the last is this desire to win, this true, deep, deep, deep conviction and passion to really keep focused and to win over the long haul. And I think this goes back to what you were saying in terms of the long haul means for a greater purpose and for mm-hmm. somebody besides me.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I like that you use the words imagination and being creative, of course, but our society doesn't always value that, and that's why children at around 7 or 8 start to lose a lot of that innate inner heart or soul connection to intuitive influences around us, and they are already strategic thinkers until they are guided away from it. So yeah. You have a beautiful chart in the book that I liked very much. You show strategic thinkers and non-strategic thinkers. Now, you say, of course, they're future-based, they're curious. They're a good steward of resources, which I, in the beginning, talked about being able to protect our resources and our world. They're risk takers. They do not equate busy with being effective. They place a higher value on projects with potential.
Yeah.
And they're nimble. The words you use, nimble, lifelong learners, and they're creative. Now, the non-strategic thinkers that have been conditioned to be this way out of fear, because our ego either directs us to have fear about our physical life or pushes us to gratify our way spiritually, intuitively, to find more joy and love and happiness in ourself and in those around us. So non-strategic thinkers would be reactive.
Very reactive and very momentary, looking after, you know, what do I need right now? And if I can go back, I just want to really underscore something that you said in terms of I really am I put a little bit of a light on our formal education system, I think, in this country, that tends to really do quite a number in terms of washing out these 5 attributes at a very young age, because I think our focus tends to be on doing,
yes.
on where efficiency of thought really tends to take precedence over depth of thought. And so people tend, and we learn this, I think, at a very young age, kindergarten, first grade, where doing and results, momentary right now, tend to get results and tend to get rewarded. But looking at the long term, you know, stretching, using divergent thinking to think about how else and what else and where else and who else, and coming back maybe tomorrow or next week or next month and continuing to add on and to diverge, all of that is based on inefficient thinking. And what we get rewarded for is the efficiency of thought, the quick, 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 right now. And I just think, how can we reach, you know, the workspace and then all of a sudden turn on people and say, gosh, I'd reward you, I'd love to promote you, but I wish you were more strategic in your thinking. It just, they have nowhere to draw from. And I think, you know, something that I would love to see is our education system really focusing much, much, much more on things that tap into what I call irrational thinking in addition to rational thinking. I think we're very, very good at teaching rational thinking, which is great. We need that.
Yes, yes. You are right. The children are taught to... I was an elementary school teacher for a while. I've had about 8 different careers.
But fabulous.
Yes, I know. I flow in lots of different directions. But as a teacher, students develop fearfulness. They want to be perfect because they think that's what their teachers and parents want for them. And so they want to give us what they think we expect from them rather than what intuitively is needed by them and why they were actually born to live this life, to find out more about themselves and to create what they could with their own great gifts. So we stifle them. It's a very
sad... At a very, very young age.
Yeah, it's a very sad, sad thing when those of us who are reflecting on these thoughts and hoping to bring greater imagination, creativity, and greater thinking, because our reality reflects what we think, what we say, and our actions, because we're energy, and everything evolves from energy. And so we need this energy to be illuminated in a bright way, in a free-flowing way, and stifling it is definitely... perhaps has caused many of the problems we're having in the world right now. But let's go on to how can we raise strategic thinking capacity, perhaps in schools, perhaps in organizations, perhaps in government? What do we need to do?
Well, I think one of the first things is I think for educators, for business educators, anybody who is involved in education in the broadest sense, really I think it can be very helpful to make the differentiation between strategic thinking and strategic planning in particular, and say what is the intent, because the very intent of strategic thinking is not to solve a problem, but rather to really focus and poke, what I always say, poke holes in that problem to say, do we have the real problem and the right problem? The focus of strategic planning, by contrast, is to solve the problem. So I think as leaders, and whether you're talking about leaders in, you know, in teenage years or leaders in young, you know, young 20s or business leaders, I think people need to be very clear about what is their strategic intent. And then to say, okay, so what are the underlying cognitions? What are the kinds of thinking that support my intent? And so I think for educators, whether these are teachers or whether they're professors or whatever, I do think it's really important to emphasize imagination. And I think a lot of the things that support strategic thinking actually happen informally. And I know this will sound, excuse me, I know this will sound strange, but one of the things that I recommend as just one of the easiest things that I could suggest is to really engage in some form of the arts.
And yes, absolutely.
And
that would
not
be great.
To study the arts, you know, not necessarily studying about the arts, but rather to engage in the arts, because you learn so much of the kinds of cognitions that support strategic thinking. That's where you learn divergent thinking. It's where you learn critical reflection, critical inquiry, critical dialogue, that whole capacity of reflective cognitions really comes from being engaged in any of the arts. Intuitive thinking, conceptual thinking, being able to see things in panoramic view, metaphoric thinking, these are all things that you learn informally through engagement in the arts. And I just think there are so many ways to become engaged in the arts that really don't cost hardly any money at all. It's that they take time and that we don't necessarily see an end point. They're very difficult to measure. And I think we've gotten a little bit fixated on measuring. And you can always find something to measure, but I think relevancy then becomes the question.
Well, let's go to this for a minute. Vocabulary is one of the ways to raise strategic thinking.
Yes.
So the words we use are tools. They can shape an organization. They can help with human resources. Now, some are preferring to use the term human resources, and Hollywood uses the word talent, which communicates
yes.
People are unique, as they are. We're all unique and special in the
yes.
whole scheme of life. However, using a Hollywood term like talent might perhaps be a politically correct idea, and while there is indeed some good to be had from respecting individual abilities and rights, focusing on vocabulary, that still limits us to a different status or reality. It's not, in my opinion, a plus in how to improve thinking and reacting and being productive. So I think strategic thinking is about an openness, not an inclusiveness or a restriction. And so vocabulary, right now, certain words are not, they're trying to eliminate it from the dictionary, from vocabulary, from thinking. And I find it very, very hard to deal with, because it's kind of a convoluted way to get people to limit what you and I are talking about here, which is imagination and freedom of thought and freedom of spirit and growth, evolution through growth. So I just wanted to point that out. In a way, we have to be very careful that we don't allow this restrictiveness to
yes.
stop what is happening naturally by our evolution. We are evolving moment by moment, spiritually and in the physical world. So what do you think about that?
And, well, I really think that, you know, first of all, strategic thinking is learnable. And I think a lot of what we learn is that you're born with it, or you're either born with it or you're not. But that's really not the case. It really goes back to what you said, where strategic thinking is about a mindset shift. And you have to have agility of thought in order to make that mindset shift from a very analytical, logical, rational, linear way of thinking, which is great. We need that.
Yes,
but we
do.
We also need the capacity to be able to shift our mindset to move into strategic thinking. And this is a human capacity. I mean, we can develop it. And I think a lot of times what we have done is within organizations, public policy organizations, private corporations, is we compartmentalize. And when we compartmentalize, I think what we do is we shut off people rather than turn on people. And I think that's I think that's very, very destructive to something like strategic thinking that, in fact, is learnable. And many times, people who, in fact, are wonderful strategic thinkers are often not included in strategic planning sessions
Oh,
because
that's a wonderful thought. Why is
isn't that
that?
tragic?
It's
And
tragic.
it's very tragic because I think this is one of the reasons that a lot of times organizations talk out of one side of their mouth. Leaders of organizations often, I find, talk out of both sides of their mouth. On the one hand, they're saying, we really, really want an innovative and sustainable strategy. Out of the other side of their mouth, they're saying, but we still want to continue to use the same, you know, cluster of thinking that we've always been using, which is linear, rational, logical, reductionist, analytical thinking. And you're just not going to get anything that's innovative or sustainable.
No, you know what they're doing? They're fighting themselves. It's a war between their ego and their soul presence. It's a fear of moving from something that feels safe and sustainable to something that would create some whole new environment. And you can't keep things stagnant. Nothing is sustainable.
No.
Everything is always moving and changing. But
this is where I think fear, you know, fear of fear is something that really holds the mindset intact and keeps us in a familiar place rather than allowing us to diverge and to really do deep dives on things that need to be changed. We're just afraid of what we don't know.
Yes. Fear of the unknown is what holds us back from achieving a wonderful sense of lightness of being and knowing really who we are. But I like that you wrote that. I read this. I read this, and I think I'd like
Thank
to share.
You.
I'd like to share this with you. The bestsellers, Malcolm Gladwell's Outliers, and Sir Ede's Bounce. If you're not aware with those, it shows how the success of many outstanding outliers, from the Beatles to Bill Gates, were invariably the beneficiaries of hidden advantages and extraordinary opportunities that allowed them to work hard and make sense of the world in ways others could not. Strategic thinkers, correct?
Yes, absolutely spot on.
All right, but let's go on to something. It's something our audience should understand. It takes at least 10,000 hours of dedicated practice to make an expert or someone who can use their skills in an effective way. Many people want to do things quickly. They want everything to happen. And with social media now and the computers, it has accelerated this so that this is also hurting strategic thinking, I believe.
Yeah.
So I want, you know, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. So I think you would go
Great.
along with, right? Is that true?
Great, I love that.
So what we're saying here to our listeners is this concept is perhaps challenging at first when we think about it, but really when we go back to who we are, and realize as children we had this natural ability.
Mm-hmm.
It has only been taken away from us by society living in limited, not being divergent, but living in a limited sphere of knowingness, but not true knowingness, because true knowingness is divergent and strategic thinking. So I think that's what you showed in your book and what we're trying to show listeners here, how wonderful this type of thinking is, how necessary this type of thinking
it
is, and how
is.
Available it is to many more people than are using it. But let's think about, what about the president, our new president, President Trump? Do you think he's a strategic thinker?
I just so don't want to jump in that pool because, to be honest, I have no idea.
You don't know him.
I don't know him. I have no idea what his thinking is, what Steve Bannon's thinking. It's what anybody else is thinking is.
Well, I would say, according to the chart we were talking about at the beginning, the chart about strategic thinking, risk taker, being imaginative, creative, not afraid to stand up to the others, be an outsider. I would say he probably is. He probably is. Yeah.
And I have no idea of, what, like I said, what's his thinking, what somebody else is thinking. I guess time will tell. I just have no
Yes,
idea.
we will see. Because I know a strategic thinker is a far more productive thinker, and that will produce results. Ultimately, we will have results. Now, it's not easy to be a strategic thinker,
No.
and sometimes people, as you say, will shut us down because they're not ready for the truth or they're not ready for the change.
Yes,
Yes.
yes.
So we will
And
say, but strategic thinkers, I think, will continue their focus and move forward because they can't do it any other way. They, right?
organizations that are lucky enough to take the time and identify and appreciate and really, really appreciate strategic thinkers will continue to evolve. It's the organizations that don't make the distinction and or that exclude and continue to shut out strategic thinkers that ultimately will suffer because strategic thinkers add an element of sustainability to an organization, and that's exactly what organizations need. If they want to have a much longer shelf life.
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to hope for our nation. We're going to hope for our world. We're going to hope to have
Yes.
visionaries and leaders who can sustain the vision for all of us to live well, to live prosperously, to live lovingly. And that's what we need. And I think
Yes.
that's what we're going to have as we evolve. I want to thank you, Dr. Julia Sloan, author of
Oh, I
Learning to
thank
Think.
you.
You're welcome. To think strategically, for discussing what should be a course given to all students to advance thinking that moves past limited fear-based impressions of childhood and societal mores, which often restrict and limit us from thinking and living creatively and approaching challenges with foresight, courage, and a newfound way to think realistically and yet meaningfully at the same time. Communication has often been the root of many misalignments and roadblocks to progress. Thinking strategically is a way to improve how we communicate, how we interact with each other in the world, and how we can thrive. For more information, go to sloaninternationalcounseling.com. Is that correct?
Yeah, sloaninternationalconsulting.com.
Thank
It's a mouthful.
It is. It certainly is. In summarizing today's episode of Healing from Within, we have discussed an extremely modern way to think and act in ways that enhance our interactions and productivity within our families, organizations, military, and government. While complex in nature, strategic thinking remains a way for us to evolve, as you just said, using both our right and left brain capacity to interpret and view the world around us intuitively and emotionally. We can support the process of strategic thinking as we continue to grow and refine our sense of reality and create with our words, our actions, and our investment of time into perfecting our skills, talents, and individual proclivities, the way to help our people and our planet. Julia and I would hope you begin to see the possibilities in observing those around you who think out of the box and give to their work intentional planning and efforts to work cooperatively and fruitfully to become more proficient at improving their skills as strategic thinkers in a world that is changing so rapidly now and needs us all to embrace these valuable understandings for language proficiency, persistence, engagement, asking questions that illuminate the road to progress and ultimately to success and survival. I am Cheryl Glick, host of Healing From Within, and invite you to visit my website, CherylGlick.com, to hear and read about innovative thinkers, change makers, and those who work diligently to improve their own life perceptions and also improve the world around them. Shows may also be heard on WebTalkRadio.net and DreamVision7Radio.com. Thank you.